James chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verse number 17. I read about a woman who saw some bees flying into her house. She saw them flying way up in the top of the peak of the roof and saw a little hole up in there, and the bees were flying in this little hole. And she thought to herself, you know, I probably should try to go up there and plug the hole and stop those bees from going in there. But she didn't get around to doing it. She neglected it, put it off, and thought, well, maybe someday I'll get up there and block that off, but they're not bothering me right now, so I'm not going to worry about it. And months went by, and nothing happened. All was well, until one day, the ceiling of her house fell in with a huge load of honeycomb on it and a mass of angry bees. They had built a nest in the attic of her house, and the weight got so heavy that it crashed the ceiling down, and all the bees and the honeycomb splattering all over everything, and the bees were very mad. Now, why did that happen? It happened because she had neglected to do what she knew she needed to do. She needed to get up there and plug that hole and get rid of those bees, and she didn't do it. And James chapter 4, verse number 17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I want to preach a message tonight that's a burden on my heart for your sake. Because many times what happens is we will be convicted by the Spirit of God through the preaching of the Word or through something you read or something you heard, and you think, I need to do that. But we don't get around to doing it. And when we fail to do it, God says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so we're going to look at that tonight. I've entitled the message, The Sin of Doing Nothing. The Sin of Doing Nothing. And so in this verse, as we look at it tonight, I want us to examine this verse and see how doing nothing can be a sin against God. I did. The first thing I want us to notice, let's just take a look at the verse again. It says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Therefore, he's building on what he's already said, giving some, he was talking about the future events and how that we need to be prepared for the future and not to assume that everything's going to be the way we thought it was. But he says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. The word knoweth there is where we need to begin. The sin of doing nothing begins with knowledge. The sin of doing nothing begins with knowledge. It begins with what we know. What we know. So God's not talking here about something we don't know. He's not talking about something we never heard of. He's not talking about something we never thought of. He says, this is something you know. And the word know there is a word that it means to perceive. It means to see with your eyes. It means to be able to observe something and see it and say, yes, I know that is real. And we can see things with our eyes. We can see things with our lives. We examine them. We know that something is true. It is knowledge of something that needs to be done. So each of us in our lives, we think about this, knowledge of something we know needs to be done. And it could be a number of things that come into our lives that the Spirit of God has used to bring something to our heart. And, you know, if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Spirit of God will work through the preaching of the Word, and He'll convict our hearts, and you'll feel that sense deep down inside like, boy, I need to do that. That's what I need. That's what I really need to do. That's really a problem in my life. I got to work on that. And the Spirit of God is putting His finger on your life and saying, that is a need in your life. That is a change you need to make. And it could cover all sorts of things in our lives. But the Spirit of God convicts us. And He's talking about that knowledge of something we know, we perceive, that we've sensed it. We can tell that that's what God wants me to do. And the grammar that is used here, that James uses, is it means that this phrase of knowing is something that we've known in the past and we continue to know it in the future. It's something we learned a long time ago and we continue to know. We haven't forgotten about it. We haven't pretended that it doesn't exist. We know that it's there. It happened before, but it's still happening now. I know God wants me to be that way. And it may be a habit we need to break. We say, yeah, I know I need to break that habit. It's been bugging me for years, and I just can't get rid of it. Or I know I've got to get rid of this characteristic quality in my life that is not pleasing to God, or I know that I gotta think right, or I know that I've just gotta buckle down and read my Bible, but I just have a hard time. It could be any sort of thing that we know in our lives that God has convicted us of in the past, and it's still eating at us. We know it's what we need to do. You know, sometimes it may be that still small voice of the Spirit of God, as you're sitting there listening to a sermon, and as you're listening and the Spirit of God is saying, that's you, you need to work on that, that's something you need to change in your life, that's something that needs to be different in your life, and that still small voice of the Lord is there convicting our heart and getting us to see the need. And maybe sometimes you'll even after the end of a service, you raise your hand and say, yes, Pastor, pray for me, I've got to make some changes in my life. But then you go home, and nothing happens. Nothing changes. You don't get the victory. You don't see God work in a mighty way. You don't surrender to the Lord. Nothing fixes. But you said, yes, I see a need. And so he's saying here, there's a knowledge in our minds. Something that we know that God wants us to do. But then notice he says that, therefore to him that knoweth to do, what's the next word? Good. Therefore to him that knoweth to do, good. Now, he's not just talking about good as opposed to bad. He's not just talking about being nice and kind and sweet. And, you know, we all know we're supposed to do that. That's not what he's talking about here specifically. He's talking about something good that God wants us to do in our life. It may be a change that we need to make. It may be putting something into our life that we need to put into our life. It may be spending more time with God in prayer. It may be memorizing scripture verses. It may be getting victory over a sin in our life. But it's some sort of good in our life that God wants us to do. And we read in earlier chapters, flip over a couple pages in James chapter 1. Look at James chapter 1 and verse number 22. James chapter 1 and verse number 22. James writes, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He said if we are not a doer of the word, but we're just a hearer. He said we hear what we're supposed to do, but we don't do anything about it. He said we're deceiving our own selves. We're deceiving our own selves. What does the word deceive mean? It means to trick yourself. You know, a person that says, well, I know that what God said I'm supposed to do that, but I just, you know, I'm not doing it. All right? We hear it, but we don't do it. God says you're deceiving yourself. You're not fooling God. All right, now let's ask you a question. All right, boys, I'll ask you a question, a real tough question here. All right? God said, children, obey your parents. Did God say that? Okay, God said, children, obey your parents. So, Benjamin, you help me here. If God said, children, obey your parents, and you don't do it, all right? Are you tricking God? You fooling God with it if you don't do it? Does God know you didn't do it? Yeah, he knows, doesn't he? So you haven't fooled God. All right? So if you don't obey, when you know God wants you to obey, you're not fooling God. The only person you're fooling is yourself. All right? That's why God says that if we know, if he says there in 122 that we need to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, because we deceive ourselves. We're only deceiving ourselves. We're not tricking God. God's not tricked by that. We're tricking ourselves into thinking that somehow it's okay because, you know, it'll be okay. It won't be okay. All right? So God's just reminding us here that we need to do right. Now, this good that he talks about is, as I said, it's not just being nice and kind. But it involves that which is right as opposed to that which is wrong. God says, I want you to do what is right. And that right in your life may be, for you children, it may be obeying mom and dad. It may be, for some of us, it may be something else. But it is something that we need to do that pleases God. It is that which is excellent in its nature and characteristics. It is that which is approved by God. It is that which is honorable, right, and fair and noble. It is the good that God wants. So it isn't just being a good little boy. It's talking about any kind of good, any kind of quality, any kind of proper thing that God wants us to do that we hesitate to do. God says, I want you to do that which is good. And he says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. We know that's what God wants. You know, if I was to go around the room and ask you tonight some questions, all of us, I think, would agree on the answers to these questions. If I said, is it a good thing to smoke? No, we all know that's not good. That hurts everybody going coughing and hacking and you get cancer, and that's not good. All right? And we could ask a lot of different things that we know are not good for us. They're not good to us. They're not good around us. It's not good to disobey your parents. It's not good to get angry. It's not good to be cheat and to lie. It's not good. These things are not good. And so we know that to be true. So he's talking about those things that are honorable, right, fair, and noble. Now, some examples. I have found over the years that the best way to help us in our individual lives when I'm preaching is to give examples so that you can know exactly what we're talking about. Because sometimes if we don't give examples, what happens is think, well, he's not talking about anything I do. All right. So let's give some examples. What are some good things that God wants us to do? Good things like reading our Bible every day or sincerely praying. You know, you ever have trouble praying sincerely? I do sometimes. You know, we can say any kind of a prayer, you know, thank you, Lord, for this food, amen. And we didn't even think about what we said. But praying sincerely, when we're really trying to talk to God, is a different thing. You know, God wants us to pray sincerely. That's a good thing. Tithing is a good thing. Giving 10% of our gross income. That is what God asks us to do. That's a good thing. Fleeing lust is a good thing. Putting away anger is a good thing. Confronting those that are doing wrong. We saw that a week or two ago. That's a good thing. Obeying our parents is a good thing. Overcoming selfishness is a good thing. Selfishness is a killer. And many of us struggle with selfishness. It is a problem. We need to overcome that. That's a good thing to overcome selfishness. And rebelling. Not rebelling. You know, especially you teenagers, that is something that runs in a young person's blood is, I want my own wings. I want to do my own thing. And there's rebellion there. And that doesn't please God. So we know that not rebelling is a good thing to do. Fulfilling our marital roles as a husband and wife is a good thing to do. Being honest, choosing godly friends, guarding our mouths, keeping a good attitude. All of these are good things. Watching and listening to only things that God would approve of. That's a good thing. And guarding our thoughts. All of these are good things. Now, if you know the good things to do, if you know the good things to do that God wants you to do, then you need to do what God wants. All right? And God tells us this. If you know what He wants, what does He say there? He says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. So God says, I want you to do it. I want you to do it. I want you to do it. All right? Now, let's just think through this. All right? So when God convicts our hearts, what are we supposed to do? God says, if I convict your heart about something, I want you to do it. I want you to do it. Do the good. So when we know there's something good we're supposed to do, it may be obeying our parents. It may be reading our Bible. It may be getting over a habit. It may be doing something else. But God says, this is what I want you to do. The right thing to do is to do it. And that is going to help you and not just please God. It's going to help you. Because over and over and over in the Bible tells us that if we do what God wants, it will help us. Young people, it'll help you if you do what's right. If you do the good that God wants you to do, it'll help you. It doesn't just please God. It doesn't just please your parents. It'll help you. It'll make you a better, happier person if you'll do that. And so we need to remember that. Now, the result. So first of all, we've looked at it begins with knowledge. But then second, we notice the result. It results from neglect. All right, the sin of doing nothing results from neglect. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. And doeth it not. The word and there is important. Because what he's doing there is he's connecting it together. He says, if you know to do right, you know to do good, you know the right things to do, you know the right attitude to have, you know the right kind of a way you're supposed to live, you know the way you're supposed to obey your parents, you know how you're supposed to love your wife, you know how you're supposed to conduct yourself before God, you know how to be honest. We know the good things that God wants. All right? He says, if you know to do right, and he's saying there's another side to it. So there's a choice involved. There's a choice involved. We can do what God says, or we can do our own thing. So there's the and here. He says, and doeth it not. Doeth it not. All right? So he says here this "and" is connecting the two. Now, it would be great if knowing to do good automatically caused us to do good. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, if you just knew the right thing to do, you automatically did it. Every time God convicted you of something, you read something in the Bible, and you said, "Oh, that's what I need to do." Bang! Instantly in your life, that's the way you lived. You'd read along, it says, "Flee youthful lust." Bang! Instantly, you flee to all youthful lust. You read in the Bible, all these things, everything you read, it would be great if it just instantly happened, but it doesn't. There's an "and" there. There's a choice involved. God says, "This is what I want," but you've got to make a choice. You can do it my way, or you can do it your way. And so God is challenging us to do what is right. And our nature naturally neglects good. Our nature naturally neglects good. Now, none of you children, your mom and dad has never set you down and said, "All right, now come on, we got to have a lesson here. I got to teach you how to sin. All right, you got to learn how to sin. All right, when I say do something, you say no. Okay, practice. We're not ready. Now, did mom and dad ever do that? Did mom and dad ever do that for you, Shalavi? No. Why? Because we know it automatically, don't we? We automatically know how to be bad. We automatically know how to do wrong. But God says that we need to do the opposite. He says here that we need to... therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. There's a choice to make. He said, if you do it or not, you're going to be in trouble. So be careful. Now, let's just think about some Bible characters. God ever tell us anybody in the Bible that didn't know do right, that didn't follow good? There's a heap of them out there. All right, it starts right in the first chapters of the Bible. Adam and Eve. God said, "Adam and Eve, you can eat of all the trees in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, what did God say? God said, you can eat of everything in the garden, but this one tree, don't eat of that tree, because when you do, you're going to die. Now, was that a good thing for God to tell them? Sure was. God says, all of them are yours. This one's mine. Leave it alone. And what did they do? They had all these other ones. They had thousands of trees they could have eaten from, all the fruits and vegetables and all everything they could eat. They were not hungry. Eve didn't go up to that tree and say, "Oh, this isn't fair. I'm starving, hungry, don't have a thing to eat, and God says I can't eat it." That wasn't it. They had lots to eat. They had lots of good things. But they chose to do what God said not to do. Did it help them? Shalali, did it help them when they ate of that tree that they shouldn't have eaten? Did that make them better or worse? Did it make them good or bad? Can't remember, huh? All right, it made them bad. All right? So they disobeyed God, and that made them bad. All right? So they disobeyed. Another example, Achan. Remember Achan, the guy that went into Jericho, and he took the silver and the garment and the things he wasn't supposed to take? Was that a good or bad thing to do? That was a bad thing to do. Did it help him or hurt him? It hurt him pretty bad, didn't it? He lost his life over that. All right? Because it was the wrong thing to do. Now, we think of another one, Samson. Samson knew what was good. He knew what God wanted him to do. But he had a bad girlfriend. And she begged him to tell him the secret of his strength. And did that help him or hurt him? It hurt him. He lost his two eyes. He became a slave, pushing around the grinding wheel. And eventually, he lost his life because Samson didn't do what was right. We find another example, David. David committed adultery. Did that help David? Absolutely not. It hurt him and grieved him for the rest of his life because he did wrong. We find another example, Solomon. Solomon knew. God told them very clearly, written out in Scripture, that the king was not to multiply wives. Did Solomon obey? No. He had loads of wives. Did it hurt him or help him? It hurt him very badly. In fact, it didn't just hurt him. It ruined the whole nation. The whole nation crumbled because when of his sin, Rehoboam then rebelled, and the nation divided into two parts, and they went further and further into sin, and Solomon brought all these false gods into the nation because of his wicked wives. He put in altars and idols and temples for all his wicked wives, and it destroyed the nation because of Solomon's disobedience. Jonah knew what was good. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah's down here near Joppa. He says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, Nineveh, way up there? Not a chance. I'm not going to go up there. No way. And he took off the other way. Did that help Jonah? No, it didn't help him at all. He ended up 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish. It was not good. See, every time you look in the Bible, we see another example. One last one, Peter. Peter knew that it was wrong to deny Jesus. And Jesus said, Peter, tonight you're going to deny me three times. And Peter, what did he say? He says, no way, I will die before I deny you. Did Peter deny Jesus? He did, three times. And Peter went out and wept, cried bitterly, because he had said he didn't even know Jesus. Now, each one of these, they knew what was right. God says, if we know what is good, we know what is good, and we don't do it, it's going to hurt. It's going to cause problems. So God says here, if we know what is right, and each of us knows deep down in our hearts things that are right. Maybe even right now, the Spirit of God is working on your heart about something that you know God has convicted you of in the past. Some sin that you know you shouldn't have in your life. Some bad habit you know you not need to get rid of. And you know it is there, and you've tried it, or maybe you've not even really tried out very hard, but God has convicted you about that before. You know it's not right. And God's saying, if you know what is right and you don't do it, it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. God said, don't do it. It's going to hurt you. And he says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. Now, Satan tempts us to neglect the good that we know. We know what's right. And the devil comes along and says, yeah, but you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Because if you do that, think of all the things that could happen. Think of what, you know, that's not, oh, you don't want to do that. Come on. And the devil tempts us. Now, we got a choice to make. Remember that? And we got a choice to make. We can listen to God or we can listen to the devil. We can listen to God or we can listen to the devil. Now, if we listen to the devil, it's not going to help us. It's going to hurt us. We listen to God, we'll be glad we did. You got a choice to make. Every one of us has a choice to make. Now, many things may lead to neglect. Let me give you some ideas. We may forget. Forgetfulness will lead to neglecting good. You know, you may have good intentions. You may, you know, hear something and God convicts your heart when you're listening to a sermon and you go home thinking, I've got to deal with that. I've got to change that. That's something wicked. I've got to get that out of my life. It's hurting me. It's not good. I've got to get rid of it. And then you get busy and something else takes place. And next thing you know, forgot all about it. Forgot all about it. So forgetfulness can hinder our doing what is right and causing us to neglect what is good. Laziness may lead to neglect of good. You know, some people want to do right, but they want it to be without any effort. I want to get victory over that sin, but I just want it to happen like that. And I don't want to have to work hard every day at it. I want it just gone. And they're lazy. And they don't work at it. And they don't put the effort into it. And what happens? They fail. They don't do what God wanted them to do because of laziness. Another reason is insincerity. Sometimes we may, you know what God wants. And after thinking about it, we get home and think, you know, I know I said I needed to change that. But, you know, I'm not that bad. I know a lot of people that are worse than me. A lot of people do that. You know, I've got some friends that do that. And, you know, that's not such a bad thing after all. And we really weren't that sincere when we finally say, you know, I think I'm going to change my mind. I'm not going to do that. And because of insincerity, we're not really sincere in our heart. It isn't something deep down inside that convicts us. Another reason is because of lack of discipline. You know, lack of discipline is it's going to take work to change. It's not easy to change. It requires discipline and character in our lives to make a change. You know, the experts that have studied habits and things like that, they say it takes 3 to 4 weeks to break a habit. If you got a habit of saying something bad, you need to every day, work at breaking that habit. It'll take you a month before you can be sure that you've broken that habit. You got some other thing in your life that needs to change. It's going to take time to change it. You want to get, you know, one of the reasons some of you don't read the Bible every day is because you don't have a habit of it. If you want to make a habit of it, you're going to have to do it every single day for a month and determine every single day, I'm not going to miss, I'm going to work at it for a month every single day, and you'll be able to build a habit. Because habits change or develop in 3 to 4 weeks. Depending on how serious we are about it. But it's going to take work, discipline. Another reason that we don't always follow through and do good, we neglect the good, is because of fear. We fear how others will respond. You know, if I change that, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? What's so-and-so going to think? What's my spouse going to think? Or, you know, I don't know. I don't think. And we fear. We're afraid. And because of that, many times we don't do it. The devil's a master liar. Tell us that it'll all be okay. Don't do it. You don't want to make yourself look silly. And he causes to fear. Another reason is pride. I think pride is probably a major reason. Pride may lead to neglecting good. In our heart, we may know that what God wants us to do, but we're too proud to humble ourselves and admit that I've got a problem that I got to get right. You know, there's been many marriages that have crumbled and fallen apart because they were too proud to admit they had a problem. They wouldn't admit it until blows to smithereens because they were too proud to admit they had a problem. Pride will destroy you. It'll destroy me. And we got to fight pride. Pride is not our friend, it is our enemy. And it'll keep us from doing right. Peer pressure sometimes will do the same thing. Especially, well, it's not just this, I was going to say especially among young people, but you know, there's a lot of peer pressure among adults as well. Peer pressure is when you think, well, what are my friends going to say? What do my friends think? They don't do this, so I don't want to do that. You know, my friends don't, you know, get too excited about religious things, so I got to pretend that I'm not too excited either, or else they're going to think I'm weird. That's not the right way to look at it. Peer pressure, it'll keep you from doing what God wants you to do. And one last one that I hope doesn't happen in your life, but sometimes it does, is rebellion. Rebellion can keep us from doing what's right. Where we just say, I don't care what God wants. I know God wants me to do that. I know God wants me to stop that sin. I know God wants me to stop thinking that way. I know God wants me to get over that problem in my life. I know that, but I guess I just don't care. That's rebellion against God. That's going to hurt us. It's going to harm your life. And so these are some examples of how we neglect what is good. So our verse again says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. Do we know what's right? In your own heart, do you know some things that God wants you to do that you haven't done? That's knowing what is good. Know it to do good and doeth it not. We just, for one reason or another, we neglect it. It may be because we forget. It may be because we're lazy. Maybe we're not sincere. Maybe we lack discipline. Maybe we're fearful or pride or peer pressure or rebellion. But for one reason or another, we don't do what we know God wants us to do. And when we don't do it, what happens? We find the result. God says the result is that the sin of doing nothing is a sin against God. It's a sin against God. Not doing good that we know God says it's sin. Now, the word sin that he used here is a word that means to miss the target. To miss the target. How many of you ever shot a bow and arrow? You shot a bow and arrow? Boy, the rest of you are missing out. Shooting a bow and arrow is a lot of fun. All right? But you see the big target down at the other end. You know, a lot of times those targets are about this big around, and they got circles on them. The outer circles are one color, and then the next one's another color, and they go in, and the middle is a black bullseye. You know, depending on how far away it is, usually the bullseye on a target's about, you know, that's 100 mil across or something like that. And you pull the bow and arrow back, and you hold it up and look down through the bow, and you let go just very gently, and the arrow flies off that direction, and you're trying to hit the bullseye. And I've been shooting with some people sometimes. I remember one time there was a bunch of young people there, and the target wasn't very far away. It was pretty close. And they pulled back, missed the whole target. Didn't even hit the target at all. Right? And let alone the center. They just missed the whole thing. And, you know, it's because they don't know how to aim the thing. Right? And so it is in life. You know, sin is missing the target. God said, I want you to hit the target. The target is to do good. To do what I want you to do. And if we miss it by a little bit or a long way, we still miss the target. We miss the goal. God said, I want you to hit the target. I want you to hit the goal. I want you to hit that thing, that good thing that I want you to do. That's what I want you to do. And sin is missing the target. Sin is a fault. It is a failure. Sin is an offense to God. It makes God very, very upset when we sin against Him. Now, why would God get angry when we sin? It's because God is holy. We struggle to understand that. I struggle to understand that. But God is so perfect and so holy, and I am so much the opposite. And when I do wrong, it is like slapping God in the face and saying, I'm not going to do what you told me to do. It offends God. God said, that is wrong. And, you know, we might just say, well, I just disobeyed my parents, or I just thought that dirty thought, or I just didn't get victory over that sinful habit of mine, or that vice in my life. I just didn't conquer it. That isn't that bad. And God said, if we know to do good and we don't do it, we have sinned against God. We've sinned against God. We have broken God's law. We are guilty before God. Sin against our holy God is no small matter. It is wicked. It is wicked. And that sin is what nailed Jesus to the cross. Jesus went to the cross because of my sin. He went to the cross because of your sin. Sin nailed Christ to the cross. It cost Him His life. He died to forgive me of my sin. And He says, if I don't do what He's asked me to do, and I do the opposite, I have sinned against Him. Not only in what I did wrong, but in the very fact that I didn't do right is a sin against God. Sin makes us guilty before God. When we sin, one of the first things that happens is it breaks our fellowship with God. 1 John 1, verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not the truth. It breaks our fellowship with God. You cannot be in tune with God and have sin in your life. It's impossible. I can't be in tune with God with sin in my life. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That brings me to the second thought, that sin blocks our prayers. So not only does sin break our fellowship, but sin blocks our prayers. I get on my knees before God and God says, I'm not listening. I said, please God, listen. God says, I'm not listening until you get things right. I don't want to do that, Lord. God says, okay, I'm not listening. It's not until we get right with God and we do what we're supposed to do, then God says, okay, fine, I'll listen now. What do you need? And so it blocks our prayers. Number three, it brings chastening. Hebrews 12, 7 and 8 says, if we endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if he was be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. God says, I always chasten my children when they do wrong. And if I don't chasten you, you're not mine. You're not a legitimate child of mine. You never were. You're not a Christian if I don't chasten you. And so it brings chastening in our lives. Number four, it robs us of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll rob us of rewards. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're going to all stand before God. And when you stand before God, you're not going to be standing there with mom or dad holding your hand helping you. You're going to be there by yourself, standing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's going to look at you and say, why did you live the life that you lived? Why didn't you get rid of that thing that you knew wasn't right? Why didn't you change that bad attitude? Why didn't you take care of that problem that I convicted you of? Why was it that you neglected that? And we're going to stand there with no answer. And instead of saying, well done, He's going to say something like, that was wrong. That was an offense to me. I'm sorry. I can't reward you for that. And God doesn't want to do that. He wants to be able to reward us. And so tonight, as you look at your own heart, the goal of my preaching tonight is to help you to see that when God convicts your heart about something that needs to change, it doesn't matter what it is. It may be big. It may be small. It may be an attitude. It may be a thought. It may be a habit that needs to be taken care of, or something you need to add to your life, or something you need to get out of your life. But whatever it is, it's that good thing that you know God wants you to do. And you've been saying no. Or you've been neglecting it. Or you've been putting it off. Or you've been just not getting around to it. Or making some other excuse. And it hasn't changed. You know, it must grieve God's heart to again and again and again rebuke us and convict us, and we walk away and don't do anything about it. You who are parents, you know how hard it is when you tell your children, this is what I want you to do. And the next day you say, this is what I told you to do yesterday. I want you to do it. I haven't changed my mind. And day after day after day after day, if they tell them the same thing because they haven't learned. And we get so frustrated with the children because they do the same thing and not change. And yet God looks down on us and God says, I've convicted you about that. I've convicted you about that. I've told you I want you to do this. I've showed you this that needs to change. And we do the same thing the children do. Nothing. And God says that the sin of doing nothing is just that. It's a sin. We are offending God when we don't respond to His conviction in our lives. And so tonight, my challenge to you is to just think about your life. Think about your heart. Think about what God has been doing in your life over the last few months. And the things that God has convicted you of that you haven't got around to change yet. It's time to change. It's time to let God have His way. It's time to get on our knees before the Lord and cry out to God and just say, God, I am guilty. God, I'm guilty. Please, God, change my life. See, if we're going to have revival, and I've been praying, God, we need revival. I need revival. If we're going to have revival, revival begins by doing what we know is right. And the message I preach tonight is to help us to do what we know is right. I don't know what it is in your life, but you do. You know what God has spoken to you about. You know what you've been challenged by the Spirit of God over and over again. And you've resisted and not taken care of it for one reason or another. And it's not changed anything in your life. It may be one thing, it may be a dozen things. But whatever it is that God is working in your heart about tonight, you need to get right with God. And say, God, I'm going to stop making excuses. I'm going to start doing what you told me to do. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.